Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would please open your Bibles to the book of Revelation. We're continuing our study and we're in chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3, beginning in verse 7. This is God's word. "To the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these are the words of him who is holy and true, who holds the key of David. What he opens, no one can shut, and what he shuts, no one can open. I know your deeds. See, I have placed before you an open door that no one can shut. I know that you have little strength, yet you have kept my word and not denied my name. I will make those who are of the synagogue of Satan, who claim to be Jews though they are not, but are liars, I will make them come and fall down at your feet and acknowledge that I have loved you. Since you have kept my command to endure patiently, I will also keep you from the hour of trial that is going to come upon the whole world to test those who live on the earth. I am coming soon. Hold on to what you have so that no one will take your crown. Him who overcomes, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God. Never again will he leave it. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which is coming down out of heaven from my God. And I will also write on him my new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Jesus is speaking to a series of churches that were real churches in that place. But he's still speaking to the churches today. And when he has just spoken to one of the churches, he says, "Let him who has an ear hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches." It's not just for the church in Philadelphia. It wasn't just for the church in Thyatira. It is for God's people. And so we need to hear what the Spirit is saying to us this day. "These are the words of him who is holy and true." Realize who's speaking. This is Jesus. He is holy. He is true. He does not change. There is no fault or impurity in him. He is absolutely holy. And he stays the same. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he holds the key of David. What does that mean? It means he has the authority that was promised by God. "I'm going to raise up one of your descendants, David, and he will reign forever and ever." Jesus is the fulfillment of that, and he has that kingly authority. And it says, "What he opens, no one can shut." Who will stop our God, we sang. Who can stop him? Nobody. We look at all kinds of powerful influences in the world. Folks who have lots of money, folks who have lots of public attention, and they are opposed to what God says. Well, guess what? That would be like me trying to stop a missile by standing in front of it. Nobody is going to be able to stop God from carrying out His plan. His word will be fulfilled, and we're told that when He opens a door, nobody can shut it. And when He shuts a door, no one can open it. And so we need to remember who we're dealing with. We need to remember who it is that we serve, and we need to have confidence and peace in light of that. Because we're not just hoping, you know, we've got a really good team this year. And I think that new assistant coach they got in, he's got some really great ideas. And I really believe that this year we've got a good chance. No. Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and He will reign forever and ever. Amen. That is the way it is. And so any opposition to God simply draws laughter in heaven. The one enthroned in the heavens laughs. Psalm 2. The Lord scoffs at them. Why? Because they're saying, we don't have to do what God says. Oh, yes, you do. And oh, yes, you will.
You're listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Pastor Wood is a popular speaker for family and marriage retreats, conferences, and pro-life fundraisers. If you are planning an event, a retreat, or conference, and would like to invite Pastor Wood to speak or teach, please visit pastorwood.org and fill out our speaker request form. At this site, you will also find over a dozen books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. Again, please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
So, what He opens, no one can shut. And what He shuts, no one can open. And then He says to them what He has said to other churches. I know your deeds. I know your deeds. I don't just know what you say. I know what you do. God knows the good you do. God knows the bad you do. God knows everything. He knows everything. Nothing's hidden from Him. Nothing's hidden from Him. I know your deeds. And then He says, see, I've placed before you an open door that no one can shut. That is a beautiful thing. God's saying, I've opened an opportunity for you, and nobody's going to take it away from you. There's an open door before you. There's freedom in that. Peter, the night before his trial, guarded by four Roman soldiers, taking turns, four followed by four, followed by four. They worked in shifts so that they could make sure nothing happened to get Peter out of that cell. They would pay with their lives for the fact that in the middle of the night, an angel came and was there in the cell with him and struck him on the side and woke him up and said, get up, Peter, follow me. The chains fell off. The cell door swung open on its own, it says. And Peter followed that angel out of the prison. Let me tell you something. When God opens a door, no one can shut it. When God says, I'm going to take you somewhere, you're going to make it. When God says, let's go, we're going to the other side of the lake, guess where you're going to end up? The other side of the lake. Even if we have to walk on water to get there. It does not matter. When God says, this is the way it's going to be, that's the way it's going to be. So, He says to these people, I've placed before you an open door that no one can shut. I know that you have little strength, yet you've kept my word and have not denied my name. These folks are feeling weak. Have you ever felt weak? Have you ever felt like, I just can't go on. I don't know how I'm going to do this. I'm trying to be faithful. I'm trying to do what I'm supposed to do, but the Apostle Paul said in his letter to the Corinthians, that when he complained to the Lord about his suffering, the Lord said to him, "My strength is made perfect in weakness." God loves to put his people in a situation where we have to depend on him and know it. The fact of the matter is, all of us are depending on him all the time, whether we know it or not, whether we pay attention to it or not. It is his word that holds the universe together. It's because of him that we have air to breathe and that we have lungs to breathe with. Every good gift comes from him. He's the one who provides us with our food. Jesus told his disciples to thank the Father for our daily bread, for our most basic essentials. It's like, well, actually, I don't need to do that. I earned that myself. With what? Well, with my work. What kind of work? Well, I work with my hands. Where'd you get those hands? Oh, okay. Everything we have, we owe to him. We are all depending on him all the time, whether or not we recognize it. But we often have trouble recognizing it. And so God puts us in situations where we say, "Oh God, I can't do this without you." Well, you're right about that. God puts us in a situation where we are utterly dependent and we know it. Not because he doesn't love us, but because he does love us. And he wants us to do what we were created for, and that is to worship him. So, he says, "I know you have little strength, yet you have kept my word and not denied my name." So when he says, "I know your deeds," it's not a rebuke. It's a reminder that he knows these folks have been faithful. Verse 9, "I will make those who are of the synagogue of Satan, who claim to be Jews, though they are not, but are liars, I will make them come and fall down at your feet and acknowledge that I have loved you." These people were suffering persecution from people who claimed to be Jewish but had rejected Messiah. And let me tell you something. If you do not have the faith of Abraham, you're not a child of Abraham. It's not about ethnicity. It's not about genetics. It's about faith. And God says these folks who claim to be Jews, but they're really not because they don't believe in Jesus. He says they're liars. He says, "I will make them come and fall down at your feet and acknowledge that I have loved you." Now, I find that really peculiar. I don't know if you do or not, but I do. I mean, it seems to me, why do they, if Jesus had said, "I will make them come and fall down at my feet and acknowledge that the Father has loved me," I'd say, "Yes, well done, well said, Lord." But Jesus says, "I'm going to make them come and fall down at your feet and acknowledge that I have loved you." Why would you do that? The devil doesn't want us to know it, but God declares it. When you are in Christ, he's living his life in you and you're living your life in him, and there is no separating us. Jesus says, "Inasmuch as you've done it for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you've done it for me." Jesus said, someday people are going to say, "Lord, when did we see you hungry? When did we see you naked? When did we see you in prison?" And he says, "Inasmuch as you've done it for the least of these brothers of mine, you've done it for me." Now, some people have tried to take that and mean that it applies to everybody. Jesus is saying it's, you know, he's everywhere. He's out there, the homeless person who's never claimed the name of Jesus but is in need. That's Jesus. No, that's not what the Bible says. It's not suggesting that that's not a neighbor and that we shouldn't love our neighbor. Okay? But that's not what this is talking about. This is talking about a unique relationship that those who are born again have with their Lord. And Jesus is saying, "I'm going to come and have them bow down before you." Why? Because you and I are one. And they're going to acknowledge that I have loved you. Why is that important? Because Jesus tells us in John's Gospel, I want you to know that the Father loves you just like He loves me. Just like He loves me. I have trouble with that verse. I know it's true because it's God's Word, but viscerally, I have trouble with it. Intellectually, I have trouble with it, but viscerally, emotionally, down deep, I have trouble with that verse because I feel like, well, I can accept that God loves me because He's so loving, but loves me like Jesus? How could He possibly love me like Jesus? Jesus is perfect. The amazing thing is that God would not only love us, but love us like Jesus. And Jesus wants us to know that. That's why He says this. So then He says, since you have kept my command to endure patiently, I will also keep you from the hour of trial that's going to come upon the whole world to test those who live on the earth. Jesus says things are going to get really, really bad, and I'm going to take you out so that you don't have to go through the worst of it. That is good news. That is good news. God doesn't say we won't go through hard times. He says you will go through hard times. But there are some hard times coming that you're going to be spared from. Why? Because even though you were weak, you have persevered. You've been faithful, and you have not denied my name. You kept my command to endure patiently. I will also keep you from the hour of trial that is going to come upon the whole world to test those who live on the earth. Even though you have little strength, you've kept my word and not denied my name. Then he says in verse 11, I'm coming soon. Hold on to what you have, so that no one will take your crown. Now, I don't know how you hear that phrase, hold on to what you have. Because, I mean, some people could hear that. It really depends in part on your personality and outlook on life, how you approach everything. Some people hear, hold on to what you have, and it's like, okay? I hear it like, hey, you've already got what you need. Just hold on to what you have. You already have what you need. Don't be afraid. You have it. If you have Jesus, you got it all. Everything we need is in Him. Hold on to what you have so that no one will take your crown. Do I have a crown? Yes. It is laid up for you in glory. Okay? God says you have treasure awaiting you. How do I get that crown? Jesus. He won it for me. And He says, here, this is for you. Wow. Hold on to what you have so that no one will take your crown. Him who overcomes, we talked about last time, the fact that those who overcome are those who've been born again. We're more than conquerors through Christ. Now listen to this. Him who overcomes, here's what I'll do. I'll make a pillar in the temple of my God. He says, you'll not only be allowed to be present in the temple of God, you'll be a pillar. A pillar is a support piece. A pillar is a vital part of the structure. We are the body of Christ. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And God says, that's we collectively are the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says He's going to make us pillars in the temple of God. And then He says, never again will He leave it. The one who overcomes won't leave it anymore. Well, you can't if you're a pillar. You get that? I'll write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which is coming down out of heaven from my God. Now, please notice, and this is where we got the title of this week's message. Please notice that Jesus says something that, again, sounds a little odd. to many of us. Verse 12. I will read this with emphasis. Verse 12 and following. Him who overcomes, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God. Never again will he leave it. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which is coming down out of heaven from my God. I'll also write on him my new name. Four times in that little section, he says, my God, my God, my God, my God. Doesn't that seem a little odd? Not only the repetition, but the phrase, my God, I thought Jesus is God. Jesus is God. But you know what else Jesus is? And this is very important if you're feeling weak and tired and like you're just trying to hold on. Jesus is not only God, Jesus is human. He's a man. So when we look at this, Jesus is emphasizing for these believers and for us the fact that God became a man. And that man overcame death and is now seated at the right hand of the Father. And has promised that we will one day be with him in glory. And if you're like me, even though you read that and you know it's true, that's not the way you tend to view things. It's not the way that we tend to see ourselves. We still see ourselves, I'm just a worm. I'm certainly not one of those people who thinks he deserves God's love. I know I don't deserve God's love. Well, that's all true. But it's not the whole truth. God loves you so much that he sent Jesus to die for you. Not because you were wonderful, but because he loves you that much. And he died not just so that you could be forgiven, but so that you could become one with him. One with him forever. Not on probation, but eternally his. One with him. That staggers my mind. It should, because it is magnificent. And so you and I need to know when he says, my God, my God, my God, my God, he's reminding us of our position in him. Ephesians 2, verses 6 and 7 puts it this way. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. Where are you sitting today? Where are you sitting? Well, I'm sitting on a folding chair in a little church in East Tennessee. Well, that's not the only place. I stand before you while seated in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. His victory is my victory. His accomplishment is credited to my account. I didn't do it, he did it. And he says, you're with me. But I'm a human. Yeah, but you've been washed clean. And I see you as robed in righteousness. That's what he won for us. Not just a get out of hell card. We're talking about forever with the creator of the universe who loves us more than we can imagine and calls us his beloved. Oh. You worried about anything this morning? Shouldn't be. Because Jesus Christ has already overcome. And he says, you're going to spend forever with me. I'm going to make you a pillar in the temple of my God. You're not going anywhere. You're going to be right there with me forever. That's good news.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.